You just brush your teeth, you just put on your pajamas, you turn off the lights, you hop into bed, tuck yourself in, and you feel like you should just be able to fall asleep, just like that. But you can't. You have this myriad of things racing through your mind. Maybe it's small things like fear, what Virgil was talking about. Maybe it's worry that's racing through your mind. You're just worried about all these things. Or maybe it's bigger things like, what's my purpose? Why am I here on earth? What am I doing? What's my calling? What does God call me to do? Is God even calling me? Well, sometimes we wish we had a similar experience to that of Samuel. God was the one that kept him up at night, and it was for his calling in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So who was Samuel? Elkanah, a man, had two wives. One's name was Peninnah, and one was Hannah. Now, Peninnah was able to have children, but Hannah, she wasn't. She was barren. And one day she just cried out to God, "Oh God, please give me a child. And I promise that if you do, I'm going to devote his entire life to you. I'm going to do that. I'm going to devote his entire life to you." God answered her prayer. God gave her a son, as Eli the prophet, or as Eli the temple priest had actually told her he would. So she gave birth to a son. His name was Samuel. And she did exactly what she promised to do. About a year after he was born, after he'd been weaned, she took him up to the temple, and she says, "I'm dedicating my son's life to you, God." And so he ministered there with Eli. And so this is where we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' He woke up and ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Samuel looked at him and said, 'I didn't call you, go lie down.' So he went and laid down. And then the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you, my son, go lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli had perceived that the Lord was actually calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears."' So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as just like the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity he knew, because of his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offerings forever.' So Samuel was a little worried, late until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell this vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And Eli said, 'What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do also to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you.' So Samuel told him everything, spilled the beans, hid nothing. And he said, 'It's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.' And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall on the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So don't you sometimes wish that your calling was just like that. I'm like, why couldn't it be? It's just so easy. I mean, Samuel heard with his own human ears God calling out, Samuel, Samuel. And you're like, oh man, why can't it just be like that? Zach, Zach, this is what you're going to do. It's exactly what I want you to do. But it's not always that clear. It's not always that easy. It's not always going to be that simple. But the real question is, am I ready for God's calling? Am I prepared for it? Samuel's calling was no accident. It was no accident at all. Samuel's heart was where it should be. His motivations were pure. His desires holy. When God talked, Samuel listened. So have you been called? Have each one of you been called? And I can tell you the answer is yes. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And guess what? I'm going to be with you until the very ends of the earth. I'm going to be with you. That's your calling. But God also wants to use our skills and our abilities and the gifts that He's given us so that we can fulfill those callings. And He calls us at all walks of life, young and old. So we're not supposed to be asking God, what specific job am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be an accountant? Or am I supposed to be a preacher or a missionary? It's more so of, God, I know my commission. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the path that You've chosen for me. God, I want You to use me right where I'm at. God, please use my gifts and my abilities that You've given me wherever You decide to place me. Open up those opportunities for the Holy Spirit to just speak through me. So maybe God knows you're gifted at fill in the blank. And He's going to use the Holy Spirit through you there. Maybe God knows you're gifted at being a missionary, or a preacher, or a plumber, or an electrician, or an accountant, or a salesman, or a server, or a parent. And God's going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you there. Now, as a family, as a body of Christ, you'd agree we're all a big family, right? As a family, we're supposed to encourage each other and guide each other and help each other discern our callings. So I want to do something a little bit different, a little bit special. I know many of you have a smartphone, right? Go ahead and pull out a smartphone. Pull out your smartphone. And this probably won't be asked very often, but I want you to go to Facebook. If you have Facebook on your phone already. If not, write these simple statements down and go on Facebook whenever you get a chance and fill these in. Now, there's a little hourglass symbol up in the top right-hand corner. I want you to click on it when you get into Facebook. Sometimes our signal's a little weaker in here. But when you get there, I want you to type in Ogleville Christian Church. And find Ogleville Christian Church's homepage. And if you haven't liked it already, just check the little button. Click the little button that says like. And I want you to like Ogleville Christian Church's Facebook page. Now, sometime today, this could be any time. It could be right now if you want to when you have your smartphone out. Or when you get home on your computer, or your laptop, or your tablet, whatever you decide to do. I want you to fill in the blank to one of these three statements. I am gifted at blank. I'm passionate about blank. Fill it in. The Lord God has blessed me with blank. Fill it in. But I don't want you to just post just that simple statement. So put a period after that. And I want you to put down, how can you use me, Lord? Question mark. And then post that on the Ogleville Christian Church Facebook page. So sometime today, right now if you want to, or later on, I want you to post those two statements. And then sometime this week, I want you to hop back on Facebook, because I know I'm on it more than once or twice a day. And I want you to go to Ogleville Christian Church's Facebook page and find the statements that other individuals within our congregation have posted about their gifts and their passions and their abilities and what God has blessed them with. And I want us to be the encouragement to them. So maybe you see somebody's statement that you're like, oh, okay, I know a little bit about that. I can help with that. And maybe you post them an interesting article that might guide them in that path. Or maybe a video that you've seen that you're like, oh, they would love this. Or maybe an individual that they could contact that could really help them along their journey of this discerning this calling and what God wants them to do. Let's be an encouragement to each other this week. Let's do that. And you can do it once, twice, and you can do it as many times as you want, as you see fit. But I want us to be an encouragement to each other as we discern this calling. Now, I know that when you post these gifts, these abilities, these passions you have, people are going to suggest some things that probably are going to take you out of your comfort zone. Let's just be honest. You're like, oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. That might be a little hard for me. But I also want you to know that if you're open to God's commission for your life, life is going to be filled with doubts and difficulty. But also know that God calls and commissions His servants. You're not just speaking words. You're speaking God's words. You're not just talking to random people. You're speaking to God's people. Whenever you open up and you share the gospel with somebody, you're God's voice. And so that's what you're doing. When you're hopping on Facebook and you're posting these helpful hints and articles and people that you can guide them to, you're being God's voice to these people. You're sharing the gospel with them. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
So our theme today is what keeps you up at night. And as we come to kind of this concluding thoughts on finishing, it's my job to finish or complete this task this morning. And this past week I had a chance to be at the North American Christian Convention. And while I was there, I got to hear a man from India speak. And he brought up an interesting question about the difference between the word finished and complete. And he described that in the dictionary it's hard to find a good understanding of what the difference of the two words is. He said he really pondered this for a long time, and one day he went out and he was talking to his brother-in-law about it, and his brother-in-law said, I can tell you the answer in a very simple way, the difference between finished and complete. He said, it's very simple. He said, if you marry the right woman, you'll be complete. If you marry the wrong woman, you're finished. And if your wife catches you with the wrong woman, you are completely finished. Well, what is it that keeps us up at night? And what does we think about? You know what keeps me up at night? It's the conclusion, the finish to the story that Zech just told us about Samuel and Eli. You see, the reason that God was rejecting the line that He had established under Moses for the priest and the family of Eli is because of wickedness and corruption. And we shouldn't, I mean, Eli as a person himself wasn't wholly, completely immoral and wrong. Eli did a lot of good things. I mean, Eli had taken Samuel in. Eli had told him how to hear the voice of God. But Eli had also failed in a big way with his kids. And his sons abused their power. They had power and authority, and they abused it. They took advantage of the people when they came to give their offerings, and they took advantage of people who were in low positions. They weren't very nice to people. And they didn't carry forward the faith and the very best that God had. In fact, they were kind of just like everyone else, and they took bribes. When they gave judgments or rendered decisions, they took bribes and they took money. And if you didn't give them what they wanted, they even got physical with people. They weren't very nice. And Eli was an old man, and he really didn't feel he had the power to stop them. So he warned them. He told them some things that were true. But he wasn't able to stop them from what they're doing. Now, we could really beat old Eli up, and I've heard lots of sermons that do. But you know what? Good old Samuel who anoints King Saul, Samuel who anoints King David, he has the same problem with his sons. They do the exact same kinds of things. Somehow, even though God was so good to Samuel, and Samuel was such a good prophet of God, he was so good, he wasn't able to pass on faith as he understood God to his children in a way that they embraced and they held on to. You know what? This is what keeps me up at night. It's on two folds. First, in my own family, will I be able to pass on to my children the faith once and for all, the sustaining faith, the faith that helps us in good times and bad, the moral teachings of Christ in the Bible that will guide us through life? Have I been able to pass it on in a way that matters? And now as I have older kids, I begin to judge, how did I do? Sometimes I'm pleased and other times I still have questions. Beyond my own children, I have those questions for my church family. And am I able to pass on the faith to our church family from one generation to another? It's kind of a big deal because this is the problem that existed from the time of Noah forward. I mean, how is it that when we get to this time of David and King Saul and of Samuel, when we get to this era of time, that there are so many countries in their region that don't even know God? They don't even worship God. They have no understanding of God. How did that happen? What happened? Because people were unable to pass their knowledge of God from one generation to the next. And the next generation, for whatever reason, rejected the teaching of their parents and their faith. And pretty soon, one generation removed from God, a generation was lost. The Bible uses this phrase, they did not find it profitable to retain the knowledge of God. That's how people groups came to not know anything about God at all. I mean, right? When Noah's family comes off the ark, everyone knows God. Everyone. But it doesn't take very long, right? Even in Noah's own family, one of his sons falls into wickedness. Noah fails. Eli had failed. Samuel, despite all of his greatness, had failed. Marty Wright will probably fail. One of the things that's interesting about the priestly line is that if we go back through the priests, there were good priests and there were better priests, but all of the priests had their own weaknesses, just like all parents and all preachers have weaknesses and we all struggle in some way. There really is only one perfect priest. The Hebrew writers tell us that that priest, of course, was Jesus, the perfect priest. He is the one that we have to place our hope and our trust in. It's especially important today. I mean, we live in a time and a place where there are plenty of things that are legal that aren't necessarily right. My sons, if they're of age, could go to certain states and engage in all kinds of immoral activity with prostitutes because it's legal there. They could go to another state and they could participate in the use of marijuana because it's legal there. They could go to any of our 50 states and, God forbid, make the choice for abortion. All kinds of things that are legal that aren't necessarily morally right. So as parents, how do we raise up a generation that understands that while there is a law that exists around us, God calls us to an even higher standard than the standard of men? We have to pass on our faith. I recognize today on Family Day especially how lucky I am. Fortunate. You've heard me tell my stories about my grandma. Some of you have met her with her leather pants and her leather cowboy hat and her vest. You know my grandma. She's quite a character. And how that from the earliest days of my life, she scared me pretty good about hell and other things, right? And she made sure that I heard those Bible stories over and over and over again. And you know, I can say this with all honesty to this very day. I have never had an encounter with my grandmother Tinch that I did not hear something about God. It's never happened. That's just a part of her everyday conversation. I'm fortunate that I had godly parents and grandparents who pointed me in the right direction. I'm so fortunate that I had Sunday school teachers that, despite the fact that I was the rowdiest, most horrifying kid you could have in your Sunday school class, they still loved me and saw potential in me and ministered to me. I'm so fortunate that I had people at church camp that just surrounded me and helped me through some of the biggest challenges of my life. It took all those people of faith to pass on faith from their generation to me. And it will take a lot more than just me if we're going to pass on faith to this generation that we've seen before us today. What an opportunity, what a responsibility. This keeps me up at night. Because the cost of failure is significant. I don't want for anyone to go through life without knowing the hope of Jesus. And what sustains you when you hear a diagnosis of cancer? What sustains you when you lose a child or a spouse? I mean, there are very few things that matter in those moments. You've got to have something of deep significance. I'm telling you, Jesus in our faith is what sustains us in those moments. I mean, what is it if we face bankruptcy or we lose it all? What is it that helps us to go forward? How do we move forward in the next day if we don't know the hope of Christ? But if we have the hope of Christ, we know we haven't laid up our treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. We've laid up our treasures in heaven. There's something more than this life has to offer. We have to pass on hope. We have to pass on peace. We have to pass on love. We have to pass on mercy and grace. What an opportunity we have as parents and leaders when those around us fail or when we fail. Opportunities to show that God's grace is sufficient to meet our greatest failures. That God is indeed the lifter of our head, our restorer, the one who helps us to face life again. What keeps you up at night? Well, I don't know. What keeps God up at night? You do. You do. And I do. I promise you that. While I'm asleep, I'm on His mind. When you're asleep, you're on His mind. His eye is always on us. The Bible makes it very clear He knows us better than we even know ourselves. Amen? God is always there and He is always faithful. So it is our opportunity and our responsibility to pass on faith, knowing that God will not move. It's only people who move away from God. And our opportunity is to help connect another generation to God. On this family day, I pray that this will be our hope and our prayer, that in our households, we will pass on faith. Let's not eat meals without giving a prayer. And let's not have occasions when we see something that's happened in the news or the world that we don't make comments with each other. Let's share. What do you think God thinks about that? Let's have those conversations. Let's let faith season every part of our existence together. And maybe there are things we do that we shouldn't be doing. You know, one of the best examples to our young people is for us to change something in ourselves and say, you know what? I know I did this for a long time, but I increasingly think that's just not what God wants me to do. Or the opposite. You know, I didn't do this for a long time, but now I really believe this is what God would have me to do. So we can be the example we need to be. And that happens no matter what our age is. No matter what our age is. Well, it's family day. It's family day. And you are the family of God. And I charge you as your minister today that you'll not make the mistake of Eli or Samuel. The mistake of living your own personal life of faith out in a vibrant way, an amazing way, in a connected way, but failing to pass that faith on to others. For I think in many ways that would be the greatest failure we could make. Not to pass on our faith. So this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, it is a celebration of the faithfulness of God. It is a reminder that He is merciful and gracious. And I would share with anyone in this space this morning that has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that the most important decision you will ever make in your life is the decision to give your life to Jesus. If you're ready to make that decision this morning, I invite you to do it as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.